Matthew chapter 1, please. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. This morning, I'm going to try to do something very different. I'm not going to make anything up, but I'm going to deal with a subject that, how would I say this? For various reasons, all of us will deal with. Some of us will deal with it because we have friends who are charismatic, and we're going to struggle with, are they right, or am I right, or who's right? That's an intellectual question. I'm really not trying to do the intellectual thing particularly. We'll also struggle with the subject, and by the way, we're talking about the subject of miracles, because sooner or later in your life, either you or someone you love very much, you want God to intervene in their life. Let's all stand, please, and we'll read the text this morning. We're going to read more of it as we go along, but this is the opening, which is the announcement to Joseph, and basically a portion of the story from Matthew. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or it happened in this way. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, or by the Holy Spirit. Friend, I want to say this. If you're praying for this miracle, you're wasting your time. This was a one and only, a one and done. No more virgin births. There's only been one. Now, there are some miraculous births in the Bible. Samuel was one. Elizabeth had one named John the Baptist. There were several. Sarah had one. But in the line of a virgin birth, there's just one. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. So his first response was not a miracle. His first response was, I love verse 20. I consider it one of the characteristics that's of greatness in Joseph's life. But while he thought on these things, he actually spent some time thinking. It says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of or from or by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou, you, Joseph, shall name him. You're the one that's going to put the name on him. You're going to call his name Jesus. That's what it is in English, Jesus in Greek, Yeshua in Hebrew. The name means no difference. Jesus in Spanish, who cares? It's basically a name that he was to name the son. Why? Why call him this? Because that means something like the Lord saves. And it explains it by saying, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. It can be spelled with an E or an I, according to the language. It's the same. Emmanuel, with us, God, which being interpreted, God with us. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Otherwise, he did exactly what the angel said. This morning, I'm going to look at miracles, Christmas, and you. I want to do this, friend. I want to do some biblical thinking, but I fear that we kind of go in two different directions as Christians, generically. We have people that have a miracle every minute, which by definition are not miracles. You know, I got a parking place at Sam's Club. Is that a miracle? Well, actually, I need to get a parking place. that is about 2 miles from Sam's Club because I need to walk. That'd be my miracle. You understand, some of that is just language. We get that. But sadly, on the other side, we have people that are probably believers that are afraid of asking God to intervene. We become cynical. God's not going to do that. Well, there are certain things God's not going to redo, and we will talk about some of that in a moment. We're going to talk about miracles, Christmas, and you. Just the story, application. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can come together and consider these very important issues. Lord, this I know. With age, I know this. We need you. We need you, yes, at salvation, but we need you every hour, every moment of every day. And when we're least cognizant is when we need you the most. Help me this morning to be able to share some ideas that will help us wrestle, at least to a degree, with the subject of miracles. I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am sure it was a Wednesday night. What year it was, I do not know. With age, you lose track of years. Rick, I know you were here 10 years, but I have no idea what years those were. Can I be honest? It seemed like it was 2 weeks ago. But I think you were here what years? Wow. It's been that long. You've been gone that long, 11 years. It was on a Wednesday night, one of our ladies at church, an older lady from a different generation than anybody in this room. By the way, in this room, my parents' generation's almost gone. We almost don't have any of that generation. I'm not even sure we do anymore. Mrs. DeGraw, Grandma DeGraw, that's it. She was from the generation before that, when women got their hair done. And I don't know what color it is, but women where I'm from got their hair done when they were in that generation, and they would get it done once a week, and their hair looked blue, if you remember what I'm talking about. And it was stiff. You didn't need a pillow. You just slept on your hair. It held you up. Well, her name was Gladys, and every week, I think it was Friday, she got her hair done with that old-fashioned look. Gladys was somewhere in her mid to late 80s at the time. She came on a Wednesday night and she said, Pastor Warren, we were doing prayer time. She said, I was at the hairdresser's and the hairdresser said, I see something in your scalp that does not look right. You need to go see a doctor immediately. So Gladys went to see the doctor. The doctor examined her scalp and said, those like black dots or something coming out of her skin. The doctor said, I'm sure they are, but we'll test them. Those are cancer all over her head. By the way, did I tell you that everybody's going to get to the place where you need to pray? Gladys came to us and said, Pastor, can you pray for us? By the way, I love Gladys. I've already said, my mother's my favorite person on earth, but Gladys is the only woman I think was a much better Christian than my mother. She's the best woman I ever been around. Godly. It's like, yeah, we're going to pray. Gladys went to the doctor. They did tests, and sure enough, it was cancer. They did some, I don't know, do you remember the procedures, Jenny? Did they cut them out and maybe do some radiation? They cut them out. Gladys didn't like them being cut out. It was not a pleasant experience. We kept praying. After a while, the results came back. No more cancer. Look at me. Whew. We escaped cancer. Couple years later, Gladys comes back on a Wednesday night. She says, Pastor Warren, I was at my hairdresser's. The dots are back. I still remember more or less what she said. She said, and I'm not doing anything else. I'm just turning this over to the Lord. You say, was that a wise move? I have no idea. All I know is this. She said, I'm just going to trust God for this. If God wants to take me home, he'll take. She was already in her 80s someplace, late 80s. You say, did it work? Well, I'll tell you this. She died at age 97, not of cancer. Now, I want to say this. I'm a guy that believes in prayer. I'm not as convinced about some of the miracle nonsense that we do in America today and other places. Behind me, I say these things, or some of these things. Miracles are central to the Christmas story. You have a virgin, and I'll explain this later, conception, meaning apart from a man, and you have a virgin birth, the actual birth. She had never been with a man to conceive. From conception to birth, never been with a man. So you actually have a virgin conception and virgin birth. You have angels. You have dreams. And I will say this, friend, I know people that they remember every dream they've ever had. I would tell you in a year's period of time, I might remember 1 second of one dream for that day. I don't dream in ways that I remember, except funny dreams or weird stuff once in a while. Prophecies. So you have a virgin conception and birth. You have angels. You have dreams. You have prophecy being fulfilled. You have warnings. And you have a star. So does that mean Ralph Warren needs to start praying for my star? God, I want to know what I should do next. Please bring a star. I ask the question, but what about us? Do we live, as I hear people say, in the miraculous? How do we get our miracle? I saw online, I thought about going, but they will get your information and then send you junk. There's a course that I saw online for 1 year on a course on miracles, how to get your miracles. Do we live in the supernatural? I heard this recently. This guy was saying we live in the prophetic, whatever that means. Sounds like hocus pocus. Psalm 65:2 is where we live, though. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Friend, we believe in God. I believe that we'll come to places in our life when we must go before God, bow before God, humbly plead, and that time might be sooner rather than later. We all come to it, cancer, leukemia, things of which there is no hope of cure. We come to that. Well, we're going to look at this morning at what I'm going to call five facts from the text. I'm going to try to make this honest, as honest as I can be. I'm not going to play a game of anti-miracles. I'm not going to be the charismatic promoting silliness. We're going to look at the text. My first thought, well, let's read the verses again. Matthew 1:18, and let's just count up the miracles if we could. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or in this way. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of or by the Holy Spirit. So you have minimally a virgin conception. By the way, look at me, friend. There's never been another. That's a pretty big miracle. Verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But I love my favorite phrase in the whole story, humanly speaking, is this one. But while he thought on these things, he was a person that could suck it up. Look at me, friends. Get rid of the emotions. Suck it up and actually think, pray, and maybe give God time to do something. So while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord. There's another miracle. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. What does that mean? I don't know exactly. I don't think I have ever had an appearance of an angel in my world, and I wouldn't trust my dreams any more than I would trust yours, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of or by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. So you have it stated twice. This is unique. This is abnormal. This is a miracle. This is a virgin conception, a virgin birth. You have angels. You have a dream. Matthew 1:22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. My second favorite phrase actually happens in these next verses. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, waking up, as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, he did. Did you hear that? He did exactly what the angel of the Lord told him to do. He took unto him his wife and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. So you have virgin conception, virgin birth. You have both concepts here. And they're going to call his name, and they did. Joseph called his name Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, whatever the term was. It's all the same meaning. My first point is this. Everyone look at me. Let's start in the simple place. Some Baptists that I have been around are almost afraid to even mention a miracle. Number one, there were miracles. By the way, this whole story is impregnated with miracles. And I didn't mean a double entendre by that either. There's just lots of miracles here. There's things that are not normal. If you come to me today and say, Pastor, an angel appeared unto me, I'm going to wonder what you've been eating or what you've been drinking or what you've been smoking. You say, an angel appears to me every morning. By the way, an angel appears to me some mornings too. It appears to me when my wife boots me out of bed and says, get moving, old man, that's the angel. Get going. But in the text, there were miracles. My friend, to believe in God is to believe in miracles. God is the creator, sustainer, judge, and ultimately the recreator, making all things new. So yes, there are miracles in the Bible. We actually believe in those miracles. But in this text, we have a virgin conception and birth. I don't think you'll ever have to worry about having another one. That was a one and done. There were dreams. Everyone look at me. You can see behind me. I'm not going to read the verses. That word for dream is found exactly in those texts alone. And they're all in chapter 1 and 2 of Matthew, with one exception at the crucifixion. A woman had a dream that you shouldn't be messing around with Jesus, but the husband did it anyhow. By the way, it's very abnormal. That's not normal language. All of these dream words are found primarily here. Different words in a couple of other texts. They're found right here. Dreams. There's lots of dreaming going on. There's obviously some prophecies also. Lots of prophecies being fulfilled in chapter 1, chapter 2. There's also angels. Pastor Warren, have you ever seen an angel? Well, I know in Hebrews it says, thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I think if you ever saw one, you wouldn't know. There's also stars. That's weird to me. A star led them there, but didn't lead them where they needed to go, led them to Jerusalem. After they consulted with Herod, then the star picked up again and led them. Later on, it talks about the star four times in the text. So we'll begin with a simple premise. There were miracles. And friends, there were miracles. Look at me. I don't have any problem when things in your life go out of whack for you to go before God, not playing a game, not living in the miraculous, none of this silly goose stuff that we chase around, but falling before God and begging God to intervene in your circumstances. Well, we believe in miracles. We believe in God. Miracles kind of come from that. I think we have prayed for miracles. By the way, we prayed for somebody here. Did you pray? I'm asking you a question. I prayed at 8 p.m. I prayed more than 8 p.m., but I prayed at 8 p.m. every night after Cliff said, some of us are getting together praying, or we're getting together at that time, not together, but, you know, we're going to set aside 8 o'clock to pray for Robert. Is that a miracle? I don't know, but I know one thing, he's here still. And he knew the amount of years he's been married, but Mutia didn't, so that's a pretty good miracle right there. Friends, I believe in miracles. There were miracles here. Number two. And this is so obvious when you read the text apart from religion. Matthew 1:19. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, his first logical thought was, well, she's pregnant with another man's child. I'm going to, whatever this put her away means, but we're not getting married. We're in a relationship, but it's not totally finalized. We're not, maybe something like engagement. We're breaking it off. I'm not going to make a mockery of her. We're not going to do it publicly, but no. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. By the way, look at me, friends. He wasn't praying for an angel. You actually have to hear what's being said. The angel just appears in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Number two, there were miracles. Number two, miracles no one sought. In chapter one, in chapter two, no one was begging God for a miracle of an angel, of a virgin birth, of dreams, of a star. No indication. All of these things just happened. Did you hear me? By the way, I had, in 1 week, two men from this church told me, one moved to one state, one moved to another state. Both men lied directly to my face, and that's okay. I'm used to it. I'm a big boy, and I'm used to being lied to. They said, God opened the door and leading us here. Both men had put in resumes at both places multiple times. God wasn't doing any leading. That's fake. That's fake God talk. By the way, we get a lot of God talk. This is, guys, hey, you're engaged or something similar to that to this young lady. Plans are to get married, and she shows up pregnant. Your first thought is not, oh, yeah, I know what it was, virgin birth. Mm-hmm. No, nobody was seeking a virgin birth. Can I say this? If you were married, would you really want a virgin birth? You do realize all through the Gospel of John, look at me, I'll step over here to try to point it out. I'm not going to read the text. All through the Gospel of John, there's this, we know who our Father is. Do you catch in my drift? There's all kinds of chismas, gossip. Not that anybody gossips, of course. Mary did a virgin birth, really? That'd be a good one. So who's the Father? The Holy Spirit. I'm guessing that went over real big. There are miracles no one sought. Mary didn't seek them. Joseph didn't seek them. The wise men or the magi, the magoi, no one sought them. I love the story. I think it's a beautiful story. However, as I say behind me, no one took a course on miracles. Can I say this? If you have to take a course, it's not a miracle. This is something God just did. By the way, very uniquely, we'll get to that in the third point. No one demanded their miracle. Can I say this, folks? Please look at me. I am not God in any stretch of the imagination or the Lord Jesus, nor do I anywhere close to that in my personal character. But if someone comes to me and says, Pastor Warren, can I have a bottle of water out of your office? My answer every time would be yes, if I have it. Could I have some chocolate? If they're young people, they don't even have to ask. But if somebody comes to me and says, I demand, you're not getting anything. By the way, nobody demands things of God. God, you must do this. I claim this and all the stuff that people say. Of course, it's just part of the game, not a pretty one. No one took a course on miracles. No one demanded their miracle. No one expected a miracle. Actually, I think Joseph was kind of shocked about the whole thing. And I know from Luke, if you turn to the Luke, I'm not going to look there in the Luke passage, when Mary finds out she's pregnant or going to be pregnant, when the angel announces that, she's like, what? Nobody's expecting this. There are no passages telling us how to get our miracle. Well, we move on to the third idea. We have said, number one, there were miracles. Number two, miracles no one sought. Number three, well, let's read the text together. Matthew 1:21. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Yeshua in Hebrew, Jesus in Spanish, Jesus in English, in You can choose whatever you want to choose. And it says, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all of this was done. Here it is, friend, that it might be fulfilled. And he gives the prophecy. Verse 25, chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to skip a little bit of this for time. 2, verse 5. And he said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. By the way, all of a sudden, and all these miracles and that nobody was looking for, you're starting to hear language. Can I say this? That no one will ever say of me that I fulfill prophecy. These were prophecies God made in the Old Testament that were coming to pass right at this moment when the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Christos, the Christ, was being born. These were prophecies being fulfilled. You're not going to say that of me or you. We continue. Chapter 2, verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there unto the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Another prophecy. We have a couple more. When the small group of children are butchered, killed in Bethlehem. In verse 17, it says, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. So we have another, this is more of an analogy that was being fulfilled. The previous one was much more of an analogy or a parallel. God called his people out of his firstborn, Israel, out of the land of Egypt. In a parallel way, he's calling his son out. Different ways of fulfilling prophecy. Chapter 2, verse 23. And he came and dwelt in the city, in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, plural. So this is not even one verse. This is a whole lot of ideas thrown together in one package of prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene, which probably has the idea that he's not going to come from the good place, but from a place that is kind of a place of ill repute. Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, number three. Everyone look at me. Can I say this to all of you? There has to be a logic in your mind, a biblical logic about miracles. There were miracles. We all agree with that. Number two. Miracles that nobody asked for. Nobody sought them. Number three, miracles in service of what? And, friend, I'm sorry, these are not your normal garden variety miracles. This was the Son of God that had been promised since Genesis 3:15, Genesis 12, Genesis 40, 49. Coming from Judah, 2 Samuel 7, all the host of prophecies were being fulfilled. So the miracles that happened that day and that period of time, they're not garden variety miracles, friend. They're miracles, yes, yes, miracles nobody really sought, saying, I want an angel, I want a dream, God give me a dream. None of that. They just happened. They're miracles in service of salvation and prophecy. That's the whole text. Everything in the text points that direction. Chapter 1, verse 21, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, because in Yeshua, in Hebrew, that has the idea of Yahweh, the Lord, saves. He is going to save his people from their sins. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. I mean, Isaiah 7:14, down in verse 25. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. 2 verse 5. Born in Bethlehem. Why? Because that's what's written by the prophet. 2 verse 14. that they're going to, the child is going to be taken from the promised land, taken into Egypt. Why? Well, part of it to protect the child, and part of it to fulfill a parallel kind of an idea. And was there unto the death of Herod that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. My friend, these were miracles in service of salvation and prophecy. Chapter 2, verse 17 is this horrible event that happens in Bethlehem. Probably a very small group of young people, but murdered because of Herod's jealousy and paranoia. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy, or in Hebrew, Jeremiah, the prophet, saying. Chapter 2, verse 23 now brings together many different ideas that Jesus was going to be despised and rejected of men, an outsider. And this was all brought together from many prophecies. He's going to be called a Nazarene. I'm trying to actually say some very simple things this morning. I believe in miracles. I believe that we need to beg God for miracles. Surely, you're back here this morning, sister. Glad to have you. You know this church has publicly prayed for you many times. Do you know that? We're asking God to intervene. Are you? By the way, may I say this to all of you? But this is not the kind of miracle in Matthew 1 and 2. Matthew 1 and 2 were miracles connected to salvation itself. Fulfillment of prophecies from Genesis 3 to that time. We don't fit that category. None of us fit that category. So if you're saying, man, I'm going to go home today and I'm going to ask God for my angel. I think you're praying for something. By the way, I think you're praying for something that you can go tell people. You know what God did? He gave me an angel. Look how important that silly stuff. It's not very Christian. Behind me, I'm going to say this. This was an absolutely unique situation. I'm going to say the same things in multiple ways. In Latin, this is called sui generis. When we talk about the Lord Jesus, he is sui generis. He's in a category all his own. These miracles, a virgin conception, a virgin birth, dreams, prophecies, angels, warnings, and stars, they were in a category that was unique, sui generis. I call them one off, or one out of one, or one of a kind. They will not be repeated anymore, by the way. You say, well, can't God do it? No. Prophecy can be fulfilled one time. It was one and done. By the way, with this kind of a miracle, these are the kind of miracles. Creation, just one. Listen, separating of the Red Sea, one time. The whole Old Testament looks back to God bringing his people out of Egypt through this great miracle. Virgin birth, virgin conception, those are one-off miracles. They're sui generis, one-off, one of one. One of a kind. They're not going to be repeated. By the way, there's several other things that will not be repeated. The rapture. It's one time. If you miss the rapture, you won't be able to say, Lord, it's too late, folks. It's a one-time thing. The second coming to establish the millennium, his kingdom on earth, one time. I see in your notes behind me, there are three eras of miracles in the Bible, and those three eras are equal to three eras of new revelation, meaning when we're getting this thing here. God does some special, unique things in three times. Moses and Joshua, what we call the giving of the law. Elijah and Elisha. Now, by the way, there were miracles scattered throughout the Bible, but there's this big central idea of miracles. When Elijah and Elisha, the prophets began, and then we have the prophets, the Old Testament, the prophets, the writing, the giving of all of their prophecies and teaching. We also have the third era, which was Jesus and the apostles. Can I say this, friend? There's not going to be any more apostles. Look me in the eyes. I got to say it. I taught on this for weeks, and I had people in this church saying, Pastor, why are you teaching on this? There are people that call themselves apostles now. Look me in the eyes. How old are you? An apostle had to see the Lord Jesus. Are you 2,000 years old? That was a unique event. So we recognize, yes, there are miracles here. Strangely, nobody was looking for a miracle. Nobody sought them. And we also recognize these are in service of what God is doing for all of mankind in bringing his son to earth, the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, the prophet, priest, and king, to die on the cross. All of this was unique, will not be repeated. That doesn't mean God can't perform the miraculous. Of course, he can and does. I want to say this, and I'm going to say this quickly. There is only one miracle that is done regularly. Look at me in the eyes. One. You could check this out, or I could help you check this out. In the Hebrew Old Testament, there is a word called bara. In English, it's B-A-R-A. It means to create. When that Hebrew word is used, there's only one subject. Who creates? Only God. Now, we use the word differently. We will say of people, they're very creative. That's okay. Otherwise, they have attributes like God. But only God creates. In the New Testament, different language, katizo, katisis, only has as its subject God. And it's always talking about, if any man be in Christ, he is a new. Yeah. By the way, there is a miracle that happens today, and it is a miracle. And it happens regularly. And by the way, you can't do it yourself. God himself opens your eyes. God himself draws you to faith. God himself enables you to believe. That is the miracle of the new birth. That's available to everybody today. So let me just say this. If you're here and everything I ever say is you don't understand me, that's because you haven't yet been born again. Because when someone is born again, they have a new life, a brand new life. They have been created in Christ Jesus. That can happen anytime. Number four. I'm not going to start with the verse this time because we're going to work through verses together. I have said there were miracles. Number two, no one sought these miracles. Miracles no one sought. Number three, miracles in service of salvation itself. Prophecy, bringing to pass what God had promised. Unique miracles, which happened at three times. Number four, miracles to be obeyed. It's amazing to me people read this text and miss the obedience. This whole text is not about, oh man, I had a, man, God told me last night, I had a dream. I saw an angel. Oh, that's nice. But you're not talking about what happened here, because here, what they saw and heard caused them to live differently and to obey God. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The psalmist says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. We're going to look at Joseph's miracle. So after Joseph sees an angel in a dream, whatever that means, and I'm going to say it's a miracle, he says he was raised from sleep. What did he do? He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and he knew her not, so the day she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He did exactly what the angel said to do. So Joseph's miracle, marry her. Don't, not really divorce, but don't divorce her. Don't cut her out. Don't send her away. What else? Name him Jesus. What else? Wait for intimacy. Not only there was a virgin conception, but there was no man in between the conception and the birth of that baby. After that, Joseph and Mary became normal husband and wife and had children. But up to that point, nothing. Matthew 2, verse 12. We have another one of these dreams. By the way, it's the only place in Matthew. These places, and once in Matthew 27. It says, being warned of God. Now, these are wise men being warned of God in a dream. You say, Pastor Warren, I want a dream. I want to be in the miraculous. Okay, look what they did. they had a dream. God appeared to them in a dream or warned them in a dream that they should not return to Herod. And it says they departed into their own country another way. The dream, by the way, when they saw the star, when all of this happened, this is what they were to do, to obey. Seek him out, worship him, don't go back to Herod, go home a different way. That's exactly what they did. Can I say this, friend? I think there's people that want miracles so they don't have to obey God. I live up here on some higher plateau. I am way up here. I am special. No. Can I say this? If God miraculously did something for you today, and surely at the end of this message, if Pastor Kwok reminds me, we're going to pray for you publicly this morning. But look at me. Surely must then continue to obey God. That doesn't change. I think we're looking for miracles that I just got money and health, and no problems. No, the miracles in the Bible. Okay, God performed a miracle. Now go obey me. So what did they do? They sought him out. They worshiped him. They didn't go back to Herod. They went home. What's the next miracle here? Chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Boy, he got more than one dream. Saying, arise, take the young child and his mother. And what's flee mean to you? Somebody tell me what that means to you. Run! Run! This is what most people do. I'll run once I get it all figured out and I get around to it. No, sometimes you just gotta run. He goes on to say, arise, take the young child and his mother, run into Egypt, and, old English, be thou there until, stay there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, what did he do first thing? He took the young child and his mother, and he did so what? Meaning, he was urgent about this. He was running. He ran and he departed into Egypt, and he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. What did he do? God said, flee from Israel into Egypt. He did it. Flee with your family. He did it. Flee. Do it tonight. Get on it. Run. And stay there until Herod is dead. Does Genesis 17 come up next time? I can't remember. Yes. All right, I'm gonna burst your little bubble. I hear a lot of nonsense on so-called pastors saying, man, you want to have the faith of Abraham? Did Abraham have any miracles? How long did he live? I'm waiting. Did he live 15 minutes? I think it was 175 years, I think. Is that longer than I'm going to live? Yes. Can I say this? If you read Abraham's story and you get over religion, which we have a lot of, especially in charismatic religion, that sees a miracle every minute, 175 years? If he got three miracles, what about the other 172 years? Friends, I think we're way out of whack. I put this verse here because I like this verse. This is what God, when he appeared to Abraham, and he did appear to him in some fashion. He said, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk, walk, walk before me in my presence. If you remember the term. Before my face. Friends, we walk before the face of God. It's walking every day, obeying God over and over. So you say, well, God's going to, by the way, I'm serious about this. Shirley, I don't know you very well, but we're going to pray that God heals you. But can I say this, young lady? You're much younger than me. You have to obey God, walk with God the rest of your life. This isn't a miracle a minute, so you escape walking with God. Can I say this, friend? In the new year, this book, walking in the scripture, praying, doing those things that Christians used to understand, and now we want something to, I call it Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. Get me out of my problems. I don't want to obey. No, most of life is simply walk before me. Walk in obedience. Walk in my in knowledge that I am looking. Walk before my face. That's what you do. Of course, that's the Christian life. One man called it, and it's my favorite expression, a long obedience in the same direction. I'm not going to go to any further. We're going to go to the end. Everybody with me? Look at me. There were miracles. Yes or no? Number two, miracles no one sought. Number three, miracles in service of salvation history, fulfilling prophecy. Not exactly my role in the world. I'm sorry, friend. I don't fulfill prophecy. That's been fulfilled, and that will happen at the rapture, and then 7 years later or so at the second coming and the millennium, and the Lord will fulfill that without my help. I'm almost positive. You say, Pastor, where do I come in? Number five, our miracles, and I do believe God does perform miracles in our lives, will always look like what? What? Our mercies and our grace. Matthew 9:27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. By the way, I believe God performs miracles, but it's not a miracle a minute. It's not a miracle that I don't have to follow God and follow Christ and obey him and implement the scripture. No, I walk before him, and once in a while in my whole lifetime, God maybe intervenes somewhat directly in a big way. And I say to that, praise God, yes. And then we just keep walking with the Lord. We keep following the Lord. We keep that daily walk with the Lord. Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. By the way, do you hear that? Crying. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. Matthew 17:15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, or he has been impacted by the moon. That was the thinking in those days. But when it describes it, it's terrible. He is sore vexed. He is really tormented, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. I mean, he's going to get killed. Lord, have mercy. Matthew 20:30. Two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude, would you shut up? Would you quit asking God? That's one problem. We have that problem too. No, shut up, you all of you rebukers of everybody. When people are crying out to God for help, join with them. Will God always do it? No, but you never know. And O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh. We're all going to come to him. All flesh will come. Well, verse 21 or 31 says, and the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Let's stand. I'm not quite done, but let's stand. I'm going to ask you a question. Will you join in this morning with me in praying for a lady here? Look at me. I don't know the year. Time gets past me. We had a lady come down the aisle, and men, pastors, and deacons in this church prayed for that lady. Her name is Lourdes Velez. They now live in Florida. By the way, I'm claiming nothing of perfection for him, her, or Rafael, but they're people that I love. We beg God for her healing. She had terminal cancer at least 25 years ago, and she's still alive. By the way, but I don't have a, I'm not playing a game. What I'm going to do is ask for mercy. How about you? Are you willing to pray with me? We're going to pray. Mike, you're a head deacon. Why don't you come up here and you can pray after me, if you would. By the way, we prayed for Robert back here. I want all of you to hear me on this, please. When Robert called me, you know the first thing, you remember the first thing you said to me, Robert? You said something to the effect that all the parts are working. When they start drilling in your head, you don't know, do you? I still remember waking up in the OR, and it's a typical hospital in the Chicagoland area. I woke up. I had blankets on because it's cold in the OR for my knee surgery. I looked over there, and there was a nurse, and the nurse ethnicity was, yes, you already know, Filipina. It's so funny because I just greeted her in Tagalog. And then she said to me, she said, "Can you move your toes?" I couldn't move my toes. Robert, I know how that feels. By the way, then she pulled the blankets back and my toes were moving all over the place. I couldn't feel myself move my toes. Can I say this, friend? Do I think God might answer our prayers? I don't know, but I want to say this. I'm going to ask for mercy. You join with me. Our Father, I thank you this morning for this great text. None of us in this room should ever think that we're part of the fulfillment of salvation or prophecy. But we are loved and cared for by you, even if we're unsaved. Strangely, even if we're a non-believer, in strange ways, you still care for us. Father, this morning, we ask for what our friends asked for in the first century. Have mercy. We've met Shirley over a period of time. We know she has serious problems. Lord, I don't know where to go, but I believe that you can answer prayer. I know you can. I know you do. I know you have. And this morning, we ask for mercy in Shirley's life until her time is complete here on earth. I don't know when that is. I'm assuming she would like to have a long extension, and that's my desire. But this morning, we ask for healing. We ask also around this room for salvation of several people that are not saved. Obviously, they have never experienced the new birth. They have no interest in the things of God. Holy Spirit, work in their life because I can't create somebody new in Christ. Only you can do that. Open their eyes. Convict them of their sins. Draw them to faith. And Father, again, there's many people. My friend Robert, I ask your blessings in his situation. I have a brother-in-law in Springfield area that doesn't look good after open heart surgery. Now we're 3 or 4 weeks out and still doesn't look real good. And Father, I'm sure he is not a believer. Open eyes, Father, and bless, and for Shirley specifically, we plead your abundant, overwhelming, unfathomable, unmeasurable mercy. We ask you for mercy. And we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mike.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a prayer answering God. We've seen it many times in this church. I've seen it with my own sister who had cancer, and she's still around. She's still around. This happened like 3 or 4 years ago. Lord, we just trust for your grace and mercy in Shirley's life and pray that we'd be able to be an encouragement. But more than that, we pray to see your hand working in our midst, Lord, for things that only you can do. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.